Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is our expectant hope in Christ Jesus. For faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And I dare say that faith is being sure of what you hope for despite what your eyes do see. Faith is being sure of what you hope for despite the things that discourage. Things like receiving word that a friend is just placed on hospice. Or you drive home from worship feeling edified and pleased that you have just praised and worshiped God, and you witness crops wither as temperatures rise and wind blows relentlessly. You witness babies born under the influence of illicit chemicals. You watch them suffer. You watch them suffer seizures, night terrors, and withdrawal because someone else exercised their freedom to be selfish. A man stops his pickup outside the window of your office out in the street, shouting threats and cursing profanities at another man as he rides away on a bicycle. You don't know what precipitated the incident, but you pray for the first man as he climbs back into his pickup and races off in a rage. These are just a few examples of the things that discourage. These are just a few examples of the things that happen to us every day and tempt us to question, how long, Lord? When will you come? And so Jesus encouraged us today, saying, fear not, little flock. In two different parables today, Jesus admonishes his disciples to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing here, don't waste your time worrying about inconsequential things like food or clothing. Don't let yourself be distracted by that guy walking down the road shouting profanities. Let me worry about that. Let me take that from you. And you take from me the good news of salvation for yourself. And then take that out into the world. Have you ever gazed into the sky and thought to yourself, I wonder if today's the day? Have you ever witnessed a beam of sunlight breaking through the clouds and thought to yourself, could that be him? Have you ever found yourself straining your eyes to see if maybe that's Jesus coming on the clouds? Stay ready. Stay ready for action. Keep the lights on and watch. Only the Father in heaven knows the day or the hour of Jesus' second coming, but be assured, he is coming. But in the meantime, there is much to be done in preparation for him. When I begin my studies each week, I write down a question for myself. What do you want them to know? And then as I study, I wait for the scriptures to answer that question. And for me, this week, what I want you to know is that Jesus is coming. I don't assume to know the hour or the day, but Jesus is coming. For you who believe in Jesus, for you who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have no fear, little flock. Instead, let us live each day like today is the day, and let us look to the sky. We speak of these things, of our readings, every time we recite our creeds. Now, there are some Christians who accuse us Lutherans of being rote, because we say these things, we repeat these things every week. And I say to them, you betcha. You betcha. Jesus came to live among mankind to be a servant. Jesus went away from mankind and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And he will come again as righteous judge and king. May these things become so rote in us that we can recite them in our sleep. For faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. St. Augustine has written that Jesus both came to men and went away from men, and is to come to men. And yet, and I love this part, he was already here when he came, and nor did he depart when he went away. And he is to come to them to whom he said, lo, I am with you always to the very end of the world. So have no fear, little flock, for the Lord Jesus is with you, and the Lord Jesus is coming. Just because we can't see Jesus now doesn't mean that he isn't present among us. And though we don't see him now with our eyes, there will be a day when we do see him with our own eyes, despite what we see with our eyes now. A story. When I was in 9th grade, my dad began taking myself and my brothers and our buddies duck hunting, and we lived for duck hunting. And as we stumbled out of bed on a Saturday morning, we would often ask one another jokingly why we were up in the cold of the morning, why we were putting stuff in my dad's station wagon at 5 o'clock in the morning of the only day of the week when we could sleep in. And then we would look at each other and then we would laugh and we would exclaim, duck hunting. Duck hunting was the only reason we could think of to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning. But truth be told, we never shot many ducks. The place where we hunted in California was public land, and there weren't many of those. So folks would come from hundreds of miles around to hunt in the same place that we did. Our goal was always to get there before they did, to always find a spot, just the right spot before the sun came up, so that we could surprise the ducks when they started to fly. I remember one foggy morning when we were surprised and elated, if you will, to find an empty duck blind. This thing was like a hotel, well, comparatively. It was a wooden structure, had a bench in it. It was up out of the water, and we thought that we had just found the spot, and it was going to be a great day because we didn't have to sit in the mud, nor did we have to hide in the damp weeds. But the fog became more and more dense as the sun began to rise. We could hear the ducks flying, but they were just out of sight. We couldn't see them. Interesting thing about dense fog, the more dense it got, the more it obstructed our sight. But I also found that it interfered with sound. Much like a snowy winter night here, the sound gets kind of muffled. So the ducks we could hear, we were sure that they were within range, but we couldn't see them, so we couldn't shoot. It was exciting for a while, just, I can hear them coming, but we never saw them. After a while, it became quite discouraging. So after a while, I thought to myself, well, this isn't going to change. I'm going to have a sandwich. Well, wouldn't you know it? As soon as I opened my shotgun and set it to the side and stuck my hand in that bag to get a sandwich, here they come. Before I could get my hand out of the bag and even grab my shotgun, they disappeared into the fog again. If I had only known when they were coming, I could have been ready. But I took my eyes off the sky, and I missed the opportunity, and I never even took a shot. We Christians of the last days are like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast. The things of this world can be discouraging as that dense fog. But make no mistake, the things of this world do not change the fact that Jesus is coming. In addition to Jesus admonishing his disciples to be ready, he also speaks to them about role reversal. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and he will serve them. What master, having gone to a great wedding feast, says to his servants upon his return, well, you must be exhausted from serving me. Take a load off. Sit down. I've brought back portions of the marriage feast for you. Let me warm it up and serve it to you so that you can celebrate the feast as well. What master does that? The answer is no master does that, save one, and his name is Jesus. He came to that which was his own. He dressed himself for service with the shroud of death on a cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. The marriage feast of marriage feasts has already begun. He will come back again with glory to judge the living and the dead. And you who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Well, he will come and take you home. He will lead you to the place reserved for you at the table of the marriage feast of the Lamb without end. This is our hope in Christ Jesus. For faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. As I said earlier, I don't know the day or the hour of his coming. But I do know that you and I are part of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. By the time of our Old Testament reading today, God's promise to Abraham must have seemed like something in the far distant past. And like that ninth grade kid years ago who became discouraged in the waiting and missed the shot, so Abraham was becoming discouraged. His faith was beginning to waver. Time was going on and on. Days were turning into years, and still he was childless. So the Lord led Abraham outside and had him look at the starry heavens. And the Lord challenged him, "Count the stars if you think you can." And he said unto him, and I'm paraphrasing again, "As the stars fill the night sky, so will your descendants fill heaven and earth." As the Lord spoke these things to Abraham, he spoke about you. Because one of those descendants of Abraham would be the promised Messiah, the Christ. Through him, through faith in Jesus, all nations are being blessed, even in our time. For all people of all nations who believe that in Jesus they are descendants of Abraham, these are the people of God. And that, my brothers and sisters in Christ, includes you. So two things I leave with you today. First of all, I encourage you to look to the night sky. Even now, God is keeping his promise to Abraham. And as you look to the night sky, may you remember that you are part of God's fulfillment, part of God's promise fulfilled to Abraham. And secondly, I encourage you to look to the sky often, day or night. I'll leave that to you. And as you look to the sky often, I encourage you to imagine how good it would be if today were the day. The one who is coming is already here. Through his death on the cross and his rising from the dead, Jesus has come near to you. And in Jesus, it is the Father's good will, his good pleasure, rather, to give you his kingdom. So have no fear, little flock. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.